Welcome into Time Out with Taylor Rooks, now on the SNY.TV audio network. Happy to be here as always. Happy to have you listening. Today's guest is Mohamed Sanu Sr. Now, Sanu is an extremely, extremely talented wide receiver. Played at Rutgers before being drafted in 2012 to the Cincinnati Bengals, but he now plays for the Atlanta Falcons. Dirty Birds, go Falcons. For those of you that don't know, I'm from Gwinnett County, Georgia. Big fan of the Falcons. So, of course, Mohamed and I talk Super Bowl. I did not know if I was ready to talk about that game yet, but it seems like I am. You know, what's the after effect of a loss like that for a player? How does it feel? How doesn't it feel? What's next? But, you know, as we know, even though that loss was very tough, football truly is not the most important thing in life for Mohamed. It's his son. So he discusses how fatherhood has changed him, what being a father truly means, and how his childhood has led up to these moments as a parent. And you also may be surprised to hear that he only started playing football because of a run-in with a New York Giant. Lots of interesting stuff from him. But after you listen, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Rate it, review it, all that good stuff. But enough of that. Here's my interview with number 12. Mohamed Sanu, we were just talking about this, but you gotta tell me, how bad is the New York traffic?
It is terrible.
I'm so sorry you were stuck in the traffic.
Took me about 40 minutes to get here and I was 8 miles away.
But I'm happy you made it. Happy we were able to finally make it work. Every time I have someone on the podcast, like something crazy happens. Like it's traffic or like the train was off, like something bad always happens. So I may be bad luck.
I don't know, I don't think it's you.
Good.
I don't think it's you.
It's just New York in general. Just,
yeah, it might be.
Do you like the city?
I love it. Yeah. I got a friend who lives out in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So, I come out here, I go to Terminal 23 every once in a while.
Oh, that's the place where you work out?
No, it's the place we hoop at.
So you go hoop?
Yeah.
You think you can hoop?
I mean, it's a good exercise. I mean, I'm all right. Like,
yeah.
If I'm hot, I'm hot. If I'm cold, shit, I just better, I'll pass. You know what I'm saying?
What position are you playing?
I'll play like the two or the three.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see it.
I go down rebound every once in a while.
Now, did you play in high school or anything?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Were you any good then?
Yeah, I was nice. I was, you know, I was that role player.
Yeah.
I just came in, did my job. It's more for fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, my team was really good. My sophomore year, we won states. We were like 27-3.
Nice.
Yeah, we were good.
Yeah. But when were you like, okay, you know what? Football is the thing for me.
When I was like 5.
Yeah. You just did that for some cardio.
Yeah, it was just to stay in shape.
You that guy at the Y that's like, let me get in with the losing team.
Let me just, you know what I'm saying, get my lungs. My lungs up.
Hit a couple of Euro steps.
You know what
and
I'm saying? Travel a little bit.
So what's it like to be back, your old stomping grounds, and the kind of the vicinity of mm-hmm. your old stomping grounds?
Oh, it's great. It's great to be around here because this is, you know, where I grew up, where I'm from, and the love that you get from the people, you know, when they see, you know, a kid from the home area, you know, make it to where he is and is successful. So it's great. It's great.
And shout out to the police officer that lets you park.
Yeah, I mean, he hooked me up. He let me park curbside right and next to the building.
Rutgers everywhere.
Rutgers
y'all
everywhere.
Are out here.
Yeah, we are here deep.
No, y'all seriously aren't. You're here because you're doing an event with mm-hmm. some Rutgers players benefiting. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Embrace the Kids Foundation, Kids Fighting Cancer. Myself, Jason and Devin McCourty, Brian Leonard. It was his event for years, and he collabed with us and Michael Burton. So we all decided to do one big thing, Super Rally at the Alley. It's at Chelsea Pair tonight. It should be fun.
Nice. Yeah. Now, one of the things, like you say, all of these Rutgers guys that are in the league, there is so many Rutgers players in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Do you think Rutgers needs a little more respect? Because y'all put some guys out.
Yeah, I mean, we do. But I feel like, you know, as a program, we need to give ourselves a little more respect and perform better. Mm-hmm. I feel like we haven't really been performing as well as we should have, and it takes time. And you know, we're transitioning from old coach to new coach, and the culture is changing a little bit, so it'll take a little time.
Have you had any conversations with Coach Ash?
Oh yeah, I talk to Coach Ash all the time. I actually plan on going there tomorrow morning.
Nice.
To watch him practice and just give a piece of myself to the kids, and you know, just give them a little insight.
It seems like that's really your thing, like giving back to the kids, giving back to the community. Where does that come from in you?
It just comes from growing up where I grew up. embracing what I, you know, was happening to me as far as growing up as a kid. The way I got into football, or the way I started chasing this dream, was, you know, I played football as a kid, playing outside all the time. And in fourth grade, there was this NFL player who played for the Giants. He came to my school, had a Super Bowl ring, showed it to everybody in the gymnasium, and I saw it. And I mean, I'm like, I want one of those.
I need that
in my life. Like, I want one of those. So, like, from that day on, I made up my mind, like, you know, I'm going to do everything I physically can to make sure I obtain one of those. You know, I was close this year, but, I mean, I'm going to get myself one.
Yeah, you have it in your mind. You're speaking it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to get one. So that's just been a dream of mine. And the message that he delivered that day was like, you know, just chase your dream and don't let anybody tell you you can't do something.
For sure.
And that's what I do to this day. And I try to pass on that message along to all the kids, you know, whether – you know, the kids fighting cancer, kids that are sick, or kids that are chasing a dream. Like, whatever your dream is, chase it.
And going off of that, I actually read, I think, every bye week since you've been in the league, you've gone back to South Brunswick, mm-hmm. to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that very often with these NFL guys. Bye week means it's time to party, mm-hmm. it's time to chill. But it's so important to you to go back to your roots and mm-hmm. to where you came from.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a lot of kids, you know, within the area that you know, have dreams, has aspirations, and when they see somebody successful come back so often, I mean...
You're their Giants player.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm their Giants player, or I'm their, like, some kids want to be a doctor. I'm like, oh, he's very successful. See the way he carries himself and how he presents himself. So, you know, I want to be like that one day. And I just try, just give peace myself, you know, mentally. And my presence sometimes just does it for them, and that's what I, you know, want to give back to them.
Now, obviously, you seem super strong-willed. You know what you want, and when you know what you want, you'll go out and get it. But do you ever wonder, you know, what if that Giants player never came to your school?
I mean, yeah, I've always...
And who was it? Do you know?
I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I know he wore the number 80.
Okay. But obviously, it wasn't Victor Cruz.
No, it wasn't Victor. Because, you know...
He's too young.
Victor's way too young.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't Victor. But... I mean, like, I, you know, you remember things like that impact people, you know, give on you. And I don't know. I just know that when I met that guy, I knew I would be some type of athlete because I was always physically gifted mm-hmm. as a kid. I picked on things really quickly. So, but I was also, you know, smart when
yeah.
I applied myself. Like, I was... one of those kids that never really studied, but I would get A's and
but
B's.
But you, yeah, you could go in there and ace that test.
Yeah, I was one of those kids. And then when I didn't do, like, apply myself at all, and, you know, I failed a test a couple here and there, but, you know, when I would go into class and sit there and listen and would be able to retain information.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's really funny sometimes to think about, like, that butterfly effect. You know, when you... It's hard to feel like you can be something if you don't see somebody that looks like you that is that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always tell people, like, I had to see, like, Pam Oliver on TV mm-hmm. or Carrie Champion on TV to say, you know what, like, they're brown, they're talking about sports, it's something mm-hmm. I want to do, like, I can do it because they did it.
Right.
And that's so crucial. So for these kids to see you, I'm sure is something that's going to leave, like, a very positive impact on them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wish, you know, what if you could, like, grow up, keep growing up, look back in life and know the kids that did something because of you.
Right.
You know?
No, that's, and I mean, I want to know. I want to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a couple kids that I know personally that are, you know, doing things. Like, I know, like, a Dwayne Haskins who plays
yes.
quarterback for Ohio State.
Oh, my God. Tell him I said hi. I really like him. Yes, I was at Big Ten Network before, and so I covered mm-hmm. some of his recruitment. He's the best.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
I mean, I was the one that started, you know, the whole football thing with him, like, quarterback thing.
Really?
His dad, you know, asked me to teach him how to play quarterback.
That's dope.
And then from there, I just taught him little basics. I mean, just, you know, how to flip it, how to
yeah.
throw it. And then from then on, he just worked his tail off.
Right.
And went to all these different guys, and I mean, his work ethic speaks for itself. And I mean, I was on the phone with his dad earlier today.
Nice.
Just talking about Dwayne. So he's a tremendous kid. And obviously my nephew, I work with him. Mm-hmm. And a foot, because that's my blood. Just a lot of different kids.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that just from talking to you, and you were talking about, you know, how you were in school, how you are with people, there's this stigma or this idea that athletes could only do the sport they're playing.
No.
But with you, there's so many other things it seems like you could have done if you decided you didn't want to take the football route.
Yeah, I mean, if I really wanted to, I could go be a lawyer.
Right.
I just have to apply myself and mm-hmm. put the hard work and yeah. effort in. I mean, and which, you know, I learned from my family. And because yeah. that's all I know is hard work. My brother-in-law works his tail off every day. Yeah. My mother worked her tail off to get to where she's at today. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's all I know is hard work. Like, I don't know anything else. Like, if I'm working, I'm working. If I'm not, I'm a chill.
Right. Yeah. I love it. I want to talk about your family for a bit. I thought it was a really good story I was reading. So both of your parents are from Africa, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sierra Leone.
What country? Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm. And I think your mom came back to the U.S. You guys are here. You went back for a bit. And then she went back, and she split time between Sierra Leone and the U.S.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that, and what was that like for you growing up?
I mean, when I was younger, obviously I was born in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and as a kid, I lived there for about 2-3 years and then moved to Sierra Leone. I actually lived there for about 2 years with my mom and my dad. And then my dad came here. Him and my mom separated. And when I was like around 5-6, that's when we moved back. And we lived in New Brunswick for about like a year and a half or whatever. And then I moved to Atlanta, lived with my dad. That's where he lives currently. I actually moved back up with my sister and my mother and my brother-in-law, like 1999, I think.
Okay.
And then we lived in Sayreville for about 6 years. Then we moved to South Brunswick. But when me and my brother moved back up, I was living with my sister, my brother-in-law, and my mom. And then me and my mom and my brother, we moved to, you know, apartment in the same neighborhood. And then once my brother graduated, that's when my mother went back to Sierra Leone, and I moved in with my sister.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what was it like, you know, having to be away from your mom, living with your sister? Obviously a very different family dynamic for mm-hmm. you.
It was cool. I mean, we kept the same thing. My sister, you know, raised me well. I mean, she instilled a lot of, you know, characteristics as far as, like, discipline and, you know, hard work, dedication, and you know, family first. It's, you know, our family is just, family is about everything to us. So we always stay tight. Like, I mean, I talk to my sister every day.
Nice.
Every day. Whether we, you know, we text or we call. It's mainly text because I hate talking
Everyone
on the phone.
Everyone texts, yeah.
I mean, I hate talking on the phone.
Are you a FaceTimer?
Not really.
Not really. Not really. You like, just shoot me a text.
Shoot
I'll
me
respond
a text. I'll respond
when I get
when
to
I
it.
When I feel like it. But.
Yeah. But speaking of family, I want everyone to know, Muhammad has the cutest son mm-hmm. on earth.
Yep.
How has fatherhood changed you?
Oh, it's made me, you know, understand love.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the love I have for that dude is second to none. He, you know, drives me to be great every day. Set a great example. He's changed me a lot as far as just maturing, growth, and I just try to just give him everything I didn't have mm-hmm. as far as just, you know, father figure to show you how to, you know, become a man, become a person, and try to teach him how to learn from my mistakes and the mistakes I made in life, you know, so try to help him not make those same mistakes.
Now, if little Muhammad mm-hmm. could talk to Dad Muhammad, mm-hmm. what would he say, you know, this is what you need to do as a dad for me?
If MJ can talk to me or if I can talk to myself.
If you could talk to yourself and you're thinking, okay, these are things I need to be as a dad, this is what I want to be for my son as a dad, mm-hmm. what would you say to yourself?
I would say, teach me the little things in life. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that I don't know. The things that I won't find out until, like, I'm 23.
Right.
When I'm 24. Teach me those things when I'm 13 or when I'm 14 or when I'm 10 and 11. Show me how to earn things. I mean, I've I mean, as a kid, I earned a lot of things myself because that's how I had to get it. Like, mm-hmm. I had to learn the hard way and had to mature fast,
yeah.
in a sense. There was a lot of things I missed out on, a lot of things I missed. But I would, you know, tell my young self, just focus on what you can control and what you can't control, and then learn from the people around you, the mistakes you've made, and don't make the same mistake twice.
Right.
Yeah.
I like it. Mm-hmm. That's good advice for a dad. You know, because I think that when people talk about children and having families, obviously I don't know because I don't have kids, but I'm sure you have this love you can never imagine, this care you can never imagine.
I mean, you think about it when people say it, you're just like, yeah, I agree, I know. But when you actually have that bond, mm-hmm. and then you're with him and you see the way he looks at you,
see
him growing, and like how the excitement he has when he's around you or sees you, it's like it's second to none, literally.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like as much joy that comes from it, I feel like being a parent's also scary.
Oh yeah, because you always want the best for him. You always want him safe. You always want, you know, him to have the best of everything. But at the same time, you also want him to be, to go through some things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
having
want him
that balance.
You want him to actually have to work for something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, growing up, I didn't really have much. Now he's growing up.
He has everything
he can possibly ask mm-hmm. for. So at the same time, like, I feel like what I want to, you know, have to teach him is like, yeah, you have to work for certain things when he gets old enough. Now he's a kid, I'm going to let him enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once he gets older, I want him to know what hard work is and how to earn something.
Right.
Like, I mean, you know, in this day and age, people don't just hand you stuff. You got to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want him to understand, like, listen, like, in order to obtain this, I know there's things I have to do, necessary evils I have to go across and work that I have to put in to reach something.
Mm-hmm. Would you let him play football?
If he wanted to.
Yeah.
I'll tell him, like, listen, like, you're going to hurt.
Right.
This can happen to you, this can happen to you, this can happen to you. It's up to you. It's your life. I'm not going to control you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you make the decision. But if you want to, go ahead. If you need my help, I'm going to help you.
Mm-hmm. Does he have to go to Rutgers?
No. it's a must.
Yeah.
It's like, nah.
He is kicked out if he decides to go to Penn State.
If he goes anywhere else, I will disown him. No, he can go wherever he wants to, man. As long as he's happy and he's content with his decision, mm-hmm. I'm going to support him. Like,
good. That's the way to go. Yeah. Now, obviously, as I told you, and as everyone on the podcast knows, because I talk about it all the time, I am from Gwinnett County.
Shout out Gwinnett.
Yep. Shout out Migos. Shout out Peachtree Ridge.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
So obviously, and I know you probably hate talking about this, but how often do you think about the Super Bowl?
Every day. Yeah, I mean, as a football player, that's, you know, one of the highest things you can ever ask for, to be a part of, and to lose the way you did, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, it's a great life lesson.
For sure.
I mean, I never take moments like that for granted. Like, it was one of the best times of my life, as also one of the worst times of my life, all in one.
Right.
So, I mean, I take it for what it is, and, you know, I embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot that went into it. I mean, I put a lot of work into it to reach there, and I gave it all I had.
And now you know how to get back.
I know what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have to put in even more work. So, yeah. I mean, it's awesome. It's a blessing and it's a curse.
Yeah.
In order to go there, to be up the way you were and to lose the way you lived, it's very humbling.
Yeah, for sure.
As an athlete, it's very humbling.
And that's the thing, like, obviously watching it, I keep telling people, you know, it's like for three quarters, I think I'm a Super Bowl champ.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I'm texting people, talking trash.
I mean, for three quarters, you literally think, like, you know, your dream came true.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I wanted all my life, and it finally happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to soak it all in, and then you see the game slipping away, and you're just like, dang, like, You know, we didn't pull it off. And you know, in that moment, like, you know, I didn't have any emotion.
Yeah.
I just was, like, numb, you know?
Because
like,
it almost didn't seem real.
It didn't seem real. It seemed so fake. Like, it didn't.
Yeah.
It was just like, I didn't cry. I wasn't angry. I didn't really had any emotion. Like, I just left, showered, went to my hotel, and just chilled.
Really? When did it set in?
I mean, it set in. I mean, it still hasn't really. Like,
right.
I know what happened. I know what occurred. And, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it now besides work your tail off and try to be there next year. And it's extremely hard. Like, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, our team, the bond that we have, the brotherhood, how much hard work we put in together in order to make it there. We know what we have to do, but it's not easy to repeat it.
For sure. And I think that's the thing, as an Atlanta fan, you're like, damn, we made it.
Mm-hmm.
We made it to the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan got rid of the whole playoff choker label, because I love Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. So I was so happy he showed people, I can get here. I can take my team here. But then you think, okay, well, when are we going to go back?
And I mean, it's easy for everybody to say next year.
Right.
But it's really, like, it's very hard. Like,
yeah.
You don't know. And I mean, we all hope is next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what our mindset is. But at the same time, you have to realize, like, listen, there's 15 other teams in the division.
Coming right for you.
You know what I'm saying? There's 15 other teams in the division, in the NFC, that coming at your neck.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you better come correct.
Right.
So I'm saying, like, so you have to, and they're building, they, you know, everybody's working their tail off. And it's like, yeah, we have an awesome team. And you know, our brotherhood is strong. And there's a lot of other teams that have awesome teams. But at the same time, we have to, you know, start from square one again and go about it the same way we did last year and just take it one step at a time.
What's one thing you think fans don't know about the NFL that they should? Something that's maybe a misconception about it as a player?
That's a loaded question.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something.
Okay.
Like, because there's a lot of different things that can go into it. I mean, be more specific.
Tell me, okay, for example, like, I think that some people watch games and it's easy to say, you know, Shanahan should have run the ball.
Oh, okay.
And it's easy to think that sitting in your seat and looking and saying, this is what I would have done. But what is it about the in-game situations that make people do the thing that isn't the obvious thing, if that makes sense? Because obviously I was one person like, come on, Shanahan, you screwed this up. But, I mean, he's paid to do this, so he's knowing something that I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like certain times in a game, like, people are just going off what the momentum is.
Yeah.
And what's working. I mean, I don't know what his approach was, because he's up in a box, what
right.
he sees. And, I mean, we know what the emotion is like on the field,
mm-hmm.
but it's different for a coach up in a box.
For sure.
So,
and they're seeing other things.
And they see other things.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people may say the obvious thing was to run a ball, which, you know, everybody said the same thing when Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
And I mean, but at the same time, like, if it went the other way, people would have said it's genius.
For sure.
So,
always. And that's how it works.
That's how life works. That's
yeah.
how life works. So it's just, I mean, it's just when things don't go your way, it's just, it is what it is. Like,
yeah.
it's just what balances out.
Okay. Now, obviously, as a football fan and Atlanta fan, before I let you go, a couple questions I have to ask. First being, what is it like playing with Julio Jones? Because that's
my
guy.
It is awesome. My guy, Who James. It is awesome. He's an unbelievable player.
Yes.
Great person, like fun to be around. He's very, very, very intelligent. Like,
yeah.
Far, smart football player.
Really?
Yeah, he knows about the game a lot. And he helps everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Whether it's running backs, receivers, whoever the case may be, tight ends, he's always trying to help a teammate. And he's very selfless,
mm-hmm.
very unselfish person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he He's always putting, you know, the team ahead of himself. And he's definitely an alien.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the most athletic person I've ever seen other than myself.
It's crazy. Other than yourself, I feel it. It's crazy to watch him play. Some of the catches he makes.
There's catches. I'm like, dude, how you do that?
Yeah.
Like, did you do that?
Right. I mean, is it casual to him?
Yeah,
like, is he just like, oh, this is another day in the life of Julio?
I mean, but it's like that every day.
Yeah.
Stuff that he does is incredible every day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at the same time, I don't want to say you get sick of it. You're just like, it's just normal.
Right.
Oh, Julio just made a crazy catch. Oh, okay. What's the next play?
Right. Do it again the next one.
Oh, Julio just ran a ball that was 20 yards overthrown down. Okay.
He like goes all the way back.
You know, like, you're just like, bro, how did you do that?
Right.
So.
I hear you're a bit of a trash talker.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, you
love
it?
That's part of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, for me, you know, I love talking trash because, you know, it gets you going. And I feel like if, you know, you're talking that trash, and I mean, it's definitely a mind thing.
Mm-hmm.
You try to get in the other person's head, but at the same time, it gets you going.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's also like a confidence booster.
Mm-hmm. Hardest corner you've had to face?
Hardest corner that I had to face. That's a tough one. I would either say Patrick Peterson or Joe Hayden is very good. Very good technique.
Yeah.
Very good technique.
And with the type of athlete you are, and obviously a very, very talented slot receiver, what is the key to defending you? Or do you not want to tell the secrets?
I mean, there is no key. Yeah.
You just got to try your hardest.
You just got to try your best. There's no key.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Okay, so tell me, last thing for you. Looking back on this year, going into the next one, I think you've really built up a lot of steam for yourself. You're becoming more and more of a name with the successful year that you've had. Biggest thing that you learned and the biggest thing you need to change going into the next season? And it can be something on the field or something off.
Biggest thing I learned was just, I would say just, you know, playing aggressive.
Okay.
When you play aggressive and the physicality, and I guess sometimes it demoralizes people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way we play in our room. We play super aggressive, and I mean, we come after you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, sometimes, you know, years past, I would play aggressive, but it wasn't like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, I didn't have to all the time. But once you play aggressive all the time, people get sick and tired of you.
Yeah.
Like, they get sick and tired of you, and, you know, people tap out. I mean, it's, you know, as much as you don't want to believe so, like, actually happens.
I remember once Marshawn Lynch had said, you know, I realize that if you keep running into somebody and mm-hmm. keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going, they can't take it.
Yeah, they give up.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. that's just what you have to do is, like, you keep going until they can't take it anymore.
Yeah, it's just about who's tougher at this point.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, if you're coming down to try to make a tackle on free and I'm coming full speed outside in and I'm hitting you in the face every time,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to come down the same way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's when, boop, free goes for 80. Or Tico goes for 60. Like, you're gonna, and I mean, I'm not gonna stop.
Right.
That's just how I'm wired. Like,
yeah.
I'm built different. Like, I'm not gonna stop.
So football's really about winning that mental battle every down.
Every day.
Yeah.
And I mean, people may say, oh, he talks so much trash, oh, he's cocky. And I'm like, you're telling me if you weren't out there and you weren't gifted, and you didn't know you belonged out there, you're not gonna talk trash.
Am I not supposed to think I'm the best?
I'm not supposed to think I'm one of the best. That's the mindset of to play in this league. Like, you have to have that mindset or you won't last.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going in on year six. Like, that's the mindset you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's guys coming in every year trying to take
your
job.
It's cyclical.
It's mm-hmm. a cycle. An average year is 3 years for an NFL player,
yeah.
if that. So if you don't have that mindset or that dog in you, then why are you playing?
Mm-hmm.
People saying, oh, he talks too much. Oh, he's a trash talker. Yeah.
It's part of it.
It's part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you come chill with me, you'd be like, oh, he's the nicest guy in the
world. Yeah, he's super chill.
He's super chill. But on the field, I'm a different person.
Right. And you almost have to separate the
you
two.
Have
you have to be this
two.
Person and this person and excel at both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, you have to transform into somebody else.
Mm-hmm. How much, and this is the last thing I will say because I know you do have to go, how much does being that person on the football field weigh on the person you are off of it?
It doesn't. You have to do a good job of separating the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's a way, like for me, like, you know, I have a perfect drive to work and from work, I would say.
Okay.
And it's like when I'm, you know, it's like when I'm driving into work, I listen to my music to get me in that mode.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm driving from work, I just, sometimes I listen to silence, you know, think, sometimes I listen to slow music.
Right.
It calms you down.
So it's an alter ego.
Yeah, it literally is like an alter ego.
What's your alter ego's name?
I don't really have one.
We'll think of one.
Yeah. Sometimes people say it's Agent 12. They call me Agent 12.
I like it.
So I'm going to just go with it.
Okay, we'll go with Agent 12 for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I must say, I feel very motivated after talking to you. I'm going to go out and just like knock some people out.
I wouldn't say knock some people out. Go run or something, you know. Be active.
I will. I'm really like, I'm on my squats right now. My thing. Doing a little cardio, squats.
Be great at something.
Yes, I'm going to go out and do that. You have inspired me. Hope you've inspired the listeners as well. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
You are the best.
So me and my producer Jason were talking, and we believe the New York Giant that came to Muhammad's classroom was Phil McConkey, which is pretty cool, you know, knowing that his life kind of came full circle, seeing that, you know, seeing a Super Bowl ring, winning it, and saying one day that will be mine. Now, unfortunately, it didn't happen like that for him this past season, but one thing I learned from speaking with him is his constant drive to be the best he can be in all aspects of life. So no ring yet, but I'm sure it is on the horizon. Be sure to subscribe to and rate the podcast. As always, thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.